Hey, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold, hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes?
I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided. Oh yeah, undivided. Oh yeah.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Monday, March 1st, 2021. And fun stuff coming up. Let's see, Daylight Savings Time, St. Patrick's Day, the Ides of March. It's the first day of Women's History Month. That's fun, like I said in the first hour. I don't understand. I thought we said, you know, ladies first, and so why isn't January Women's History Month? Well, being facetious, obviously. And anytime, you know, we attach these kinds of things to things, you can be assured that there's dishonesty in view somewhere. There's dishonesty afoot. And, you know, for example, when, as folks have pointed out, even Peter Thiel has said that when you attach the science moniker to something, you can be assured that it's not scientific. It's pseudoscience. That's why you put science, you know, climate science and those kinds of things. It's not science. Because you don't need to attach science to actual science. And so when we attach history to something, we can probably be assured that it's an effort to mislead people. It's revisionist history, which is dishonest. It's not history at all. So that's interesting. Here we are. So I'm trying to focus more on solutions and what we can do about these things and how, you know, this was supposed to be a representative republic. And that's an interesting concept. You know, is there any escaping Plato's Republic in that sense and the inevitability of scientific socialism? Well, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe. Depends on who you ask. But this idea of learning how to behave ourselves, for Pete's sake, you know, again, Andrew Jackson, speaking of March, you know, it was March 4, 1837, that he in his farewell address, said, "You must remember, my fellow citizens, that eternal vigilance by the people is the price of liberty, and that you must pay the price if you wish to secure the blessing." Do we wish to secure the blessing, or do we want to trade the gossamer threads of the Constitution for prison bars in our own panopticon that we're erecting presently in the prison state, USA? And what a scam that is. You know, somebody said, someone once observed that you can tell how corrupt a society is by the number of hands in the middle of transactions there are. You know, how many people have to be paid off And, you know, if you look at the so-called criminal justice system, my goodness, if you're not familiar, look into it. It's astonishing. So you must remember, my fellow citizens, that eternal vigilance by the people, eternal vigilance by the people is the price of liberty, and you must, and that you must pay the price if you wish to secure the blessing. And I think, if I dare say, you know, obviously he's speaking specifically to the monopoly, chartering of the monopoly on currency. That's what's the particular backdrop of this remark. But if I could go a step further, you know, there is a sense of introspective eternal vigilance, because we have to be paying attention to, you know, kind of monitoring ourselves, making sure that we have the proper tools to make an accurate assessment, you know, to get an accurate lay of the land, to proceed properly forward, and not just for ourselves, but, you know, for posterity. Again, Proverbs 1, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. What is wrong with that? Why wouldn't we want to do that? Why wouldn't we want to be sober-minded? Why would we want to drift off and run aground in the fashion that Carl Sagan wrote back in 1996, you know, the celebration of ignorance that he wrote about? How long can that last? So what are we doing these days to prevent or to, you know, avert catastrophe? Tom, sorry we missed you. I didn't see that, so apologize. Feel free to call back. Try to pay attention. So what are we doing generally, you know? What are each of us doing? It's interesting. You go back and you look at those biblical examples. Moses comes down from the mountain and says, guys, let's go talk. Let's go talk to God. It's going to be awesome. And they say, what are you, nuts? You talk to us, lest we perish. They were convicted. We have personal responsibility. And one of the things that guys like Andrew Breitbart observe is that when you get sucked into this cultural Marxist victimhood, you can excuse yourself for everything. You absolve your conscience of any wrongdoing or any accountability or any responsibility for anything. You just become a victim, and nothing is your fault. And then you hear other folks say, well, that doesn't make any sense, because, I mean, first of all, have you done everything that you possibly can? Have you exhausted every avenue? No, you haven't. Oh, wait, you haven't even done anything? You're just shouting that you're a victim? You haven't done anything? What are you shouting about then? And then they say, you know, these people who observe this nonsense say, I don't understand, because I seem to share certain similar characteristics to you. You say you're a victim. I didn't realize I was a victim. I just worked hard and did this and did that and made sound, you know, exercised sound judgment, made good decisions, and I don't seem to have those problems. What did I miss? Because I don't feel like a victim. Did you do that? Did you exercise sound judgment, make good decisions, and you didn't? Oh, well, I wonder if that has anything to do with your alleged victimhood. Instead of some person somewhere who we don't know. No, it's all of those kinds of people. You know, it's those people who are victimizing you. And did you try to exercise sound judgment first and make good decisions, wise and prudent? Or are you just saying that you just have no responsibility, you just have no control over your own life whatsoever? Kind of silly, you know. I dare say it wasn't always like this in America. It's time to grow up, America. It's time to stop with all this nonsense. I don't think, I think I'm going to table the Trump CPAC keynote address. I think the only thing that I'll say about it is I just thought it was interesting. You know, it reminds me of, what year was it? The first year that Seattle Seahawks went to the Super Bowl. No, not the first year. I think it was 2013. Was it? Or was it 2014? I forget. Was the year... So Pete Carroll... No, Mike Holmgren 2005 was the first year. Was it then? No. Maybe it was. Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of. I think it is. I think it was the 2005 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think that was the game where everybody said, yeah, I think it was before Pete Carroll. And I think that was the game where everybody said, oh, man, the Seahawks, you know, diehard Seahawks fans were saying, oh, man, the officiating was terrible. That's all they could talk about. The officiating was terrible. And it's kind of a parallel to the cultural Marxist argument. You know, I'm a victim. Officiating was terrible. Well, you know what? If they would have played better, the officiating probably wouldn't have been a factor. It's kind of the point. And so to hear people focus on the officiating, that was the centerpiece of the Super Bowl, for Pete's sake, for, you know, diehard Seahawks fans anyway. And that, you know, to me sort of belies the deeper motive, which is to deflect from the poor play on the part of the Seahawks, which is ultimately why they lost. Anyway, whatever, you know, more performance art. The point is, when I see the subsequent coverage and I see basically Donald Trump is just fodder, you know, again, the yin to CNN's yang. It's just, it's like, you know, people have surmised, guys like Greg Gutfeld and others, you know, they can't live without a Donald Trump. Joe Biden is, well, I think the word I've used in the past that sort of comes to mind as a metaphor for Joe Biden, pendulous perhaps. That's probably inappropriate for radio, but anyway, he's not, you know, there's can't do much with Joe Biden. Donald Trump is very, you know, colorful and so forth. So no wonder there's all kinds of coverage, you know, CBS, Trump to target Biden and assert leadership over blah, blah, blah. All this stuff about the keynote address, yesterday's keynote address. And, you know, crazy stuff. And, of course, like I said at the end of the final segment of the first hour, CNN's coverage, compliments of Chris Saliza, and they have a few different things, but, you know, Saliza's Donald Trump CPAC speech, the 50 most ridiculous lines, that's something to look up if you're interested in something like that. Do you miss me yet? Do you miss me? Number two in Chris's list, I stand before you today to declare that the incredible journey we've begun together, we went through a journey like nobody else. There's never been a journey like it. it's pretty fun, you know, when you look at these lines in a vacuum, it's interesting. Number three, we've been doing a lot of winning. And, you know, Saliza provides commentary on each of these, but very interesting. So I guess I'll leave it at that. You know, the fact that people want to focus on Trump instead of the guy who's supposed to be the sitting president now, Dr. Jill's husband, reminds me of the Seahawks loss to the Steelers back in 2005. Everybody focusing on the officiating. Officiating was terrible. All right, enough about that. So going back to this post by, and, you know, just getting back to a bygone era in America. Hopefully we can have a little bit of fun with this without being inappropriate, but sort of colorful, sort of infotaining a little bit because we have a 10-second attention span. But hopefully it's informative, and hopefully it informs our discretion in Jeffersonian fashion. So no liberty without virtue. J. David Gowdy, 2011. The Washington, Jefferson, and Madison Institute. Virtue, liberty, knowledge. And this was reposted back in July of 2018 over at Mount Liberty College. Liberty through virtue. Exactly. Liberty through virtue. That, well said. And so, you know, here it is. I mean, this is it. Just in brief, and I won't cite the quotes, but they're cited. You can read for yourself in those posts. The post over at Washington Jefferson Madison Institute, wjmi.blogspot.com, and then reposted at Mount Liberty College, mountlibertycollege.org, under the title, "Without Virtue, There Can Be No Liberty." Without virtue, there can be no liberty. We'll come back to virtue in a second. So, again, by J. David Gowdy, here it is. To our founding fathers, it was obvious or self-evident, quote-unquote, that self-government or a democratic republic could only be perpetuated by the self-governed. Reflecting these precepts, a contemporary German writer to the founders, J.W. von Goethe, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, stated, "What is the best government? That which teaches us to govern ourselves." And a later prominent 19th century minister, Henry Ward Beecher, simply said, "There is no liberty to men who know not how to govern themselves." There is no liberty to men who know not how to govern themselves. Self-governance consists of self-regulation of our behavior, ambitions, and passions. To this end, the founders fundamentally believed that the ability to govern ourselves rests with our individual and collective virtue, or moral character. John Adams stated it this way: public virtue cannot exist in a nation without private virtue, and public virtue is the only foundation of republics. In this regard, the Revolutionary War was as much a battle against the corruption of 18th century British high society as it was against financial oppression. While the founders and American colonists were very concerned with their civil liberty and economic freedom, demanding, quote, no taxation without representation, they were equally concerned with their religious liberty, particularly in preserving their rights of individual conscience and public morality. With respect to the vital need for virtue, in order to establish and maintain a republic, the founders were in complete harmony. And Gowdy offers several quotes from folks: Washington, Franklin, Madison, Jefferson, Adams, Patrick Henry, John Adams, Samuel Adams, and John Adams. And I will give you those when we return. Stick around. Be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. All right. What is going on here? Crazy stuff. Is CNN trying to... are they moving toward gender neutral? And Fox is kind of trying to maintain the ghost of Roger Ailes or something. You know, the ladies on Fox are much too decorated. The ladies on CNN are, I don't know, androgynous. I guess that's an MSNBC thing with Rachel Maddow or whatever. And Mika, who knows what gender Mika really is. Uh, what you call it, not cyborg, but technotronic something, you know. Anyway, Olivia Troy interviewed on CNN is an interesting thing. Is that a shrine to Fauci over her right shoulder? What is going on there? Very strange. I digress. See, it happens to the best of us. We get distracted by the clown show, by the circus. The first century Roman satirist Juvenal was the one who coined the term bread and circuses. So it's been going on for a while. All right, so the quotes. J. David Gowdy writes back in 2011, while the founders and American colonists were very concerned about their civil liberty and economic freedom, demanding no taxation without representation, they were equally concerned with their religious liberty, particularly in preserving their rights of individual conscience and public morality. With respect to the vital need for virtue in order to establish and maintain a republic, the founders were in complete harmony. George Washington said, virtue or morality is a necessary spring of popular government. And he said, human rights can only be assured among a virtuous people. Benjamin Franklin said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom, as I have noted many times. James Madison stated, to suppose that any form of government will secure liberty or happiness without any virtue in the people is a chimerical idea. Thomas Jefferson wrote, no government can continue good but under the control of the people, and their minds are to be informed by education, not propaganda. By education, what is right and wrong, to be encouraged in habits of virtue and to be deterred from those of vice. These are the inculcations necessary to render the people a sure basis for the structure and order of government. Samuel Adams said, neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. He, therefore, is the truest friend of liberty of his country who tries most to promote its virtue. Patrick Henry stated that a vitiated state of morals, a corrupted public conscience, is incompatible with freedom. John Adams stated, we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And so J. David Gowdy concludes his post with these words, virtue ennobles individual character and lifts society as a whole. Virtuous principles eschew prejudice and discrimination, confirming that, quote, all men are created equal. Virtue encompasses characteristics of goodwill, patience, tolerance, kindness, respect, humility, gratitude, courage, honor, industry, honesty, chastity, and fidelity. These precepts serve as the cornerstones for both individual happiness and societal governance. And frankly, I don't think it could be put any better than that. So, what is the solution to what ails us here in America? Well, I think that pretty much sums it up. And so, J. David Gowdy, I think he really encapsulated the answer to what ails us in his post, No Liberty Without Virtue, and the reposting over at Mount Liberty College. Without virtue, there can be no liberty. I'll give you a little bit on the subject of virtue when we come back. Stick around. More after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Welcome back. Okay, so I was going to go through the allegory of the cave. We'll probably get to that tomorrow. But let's just talk practically speaking for a moment. You get all this crazy stuff going on. Chris calls in, Anthony Patch interview, John calls in, something going on in Poland people don't know about. There's all the other stuff, you know, the Trump CPAC keynote address I mentioned and all of the fun and folly going on with that. Wall Street Journal has the piece published last May that's trending. Bill Gates has regrets. Years before the COVID-19 pandemic, the billionaire tried to warn global leaders of the threat from new infectious diseases. Few listen. I feel terrible. Yeah. As his tentacles sort of wave around. And, you know, what about all the stuff that you can find on the RBN site right now, republicbroadcasting.org? Senator Rand Paul stuns everyone with his powerful takedown of Biden's health nominee. Online doctor, FBI broke down my door, and SWAT team raid of 20 men. Eugenics is alive and well, speaking of Gates. And the COVID-19 scam is the engine for accomplishing depopulation. Yeah, it's called immune enhancement, stupid. As I said, I got to finish that article. Guess who finally showed up in Texas? It went as to be expected. And so on and so on. There, I'll let you peruse the headlines there. But, you know, and all of this crazy, you know, case-demic nonsense, and I guess we could maybe center on that in the article that I just mentioned, the Lou Rockwell article by Gary Barnett. We posted at republicbroadcasting.org. And, you know, all of the quotes, Prince Philip, Bill Gates, Henry Kissinger, Ted Turner, Margaret Sanger, Klaus Schwab. And it's just, you know, it's eugenics. It's negative eugenics. It's positive eugenics. Francis Fukuyama, our post-human future. Eugenics is alive and well, definitely. What page is that? 87, 86, something like that. Yeah, so I mean, this is the way that Fukuyama puts it. In our post-human future, consequences of the biotechnology revolution, genetic engineering puts eugenics squarely back on the table. But it is clear that any future approach to eugenics will be very different from the historical varieties, at least in the developed West. And remember, there's negative eugenics, which means kill them all, and it becomes indiscriminate. You know, it's an addiction that feeds on itself. And then there's positive eugenics that says, well, you know, we can breed people like cattle or dogs or whatever and make them better. So Fukuyama writes, the reason that this, you know, new eugenics is back on the table and will be different than historical varieties. The reason is that neither of these two objections is likely to apply, leading to the possibility of a kinder, gentler eugenics that will rob the word of some of the horror traditionally associated with it. Some of the horror. Rob the word. This is linguistic gymnastics by an Olympic gold medalist, linguistic gymnast. Continuing, skipping ahead, next page, that was page 86. Page 87, the kinder, gentler eugenics that is just over the horizon will be a matter of individual choice on the part of parents. And not, you know, and choice is an interesting thing. Again, go back to that interview, Aaron Russo and IRS Commissioner Sheldon Cohen, you know, and the artful term voluntary compliance. It'll be a choice on the part of the parents, Fukuyama writes. And not something that a coercive state forces on its citizens. No, of course not. There's, you know, it's a pandemic. It's a case-demic. And so, you know, loving parents will do this. Of course they would, you know, vaccinate their children with some experimental technology that historically has you know, two parts immune enhancement and might, you know, permanently injure or kill your child, but don't worry about it because that's what loving parents do. I digress. The kinder, gentler eugenics that is just over the horizon will then be a matter of individual choice on the part of parents and not something that a coercive state forces on its citizens. In the words of one commentator, quote, the old eugenics would have required a continual selection for breeding of the fit and a culling of the unfit. And who decides? Those are relative terms. What exactly constitutes fit and unfit? Continuing, the new eugenics would permit, in principle, the conversion of all the unfit to the highest genetic level. Well, you know, if you follow the Bible, basically we're all unfit. Like I read in Psalm 14, there's none good, no, not one. All have, as Paul reiterates, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so when you start to think along those lines, then maybe we're a little bit more humble and not quite as emboldened. Some people seem to be. So what is the practical, effectual outworking of this stuff that you're talking about, Chris? You know, you read, before I get to virtue here in a second, you read this piece by J. David Gowdy, No Liberty Without Virtue, reposted under the title, Without Virtue, There Can Be No Liberty. So what? So we all try to conduct ourselves better in a more virtuous, moral, temperate, etc. kind of way. Again, you know, this idea that virtue encompasses characteristics of goodwill, patience, tolerance, kindness, respect, humility, gratitude, courage, honor, industry, honesty, chastity, and fidelity. And Gowdy wrote, these precepts serve as the cornerstones for both individual happiness and societal governance. Is individual happiness a bad thing? Is personal liberty a bad thing? Because I was under the impression that those are good things. So, first of all, that's a benefit. But beyond that, you know, when it comes to all of this insanity, there are so many lies, there's so much propaganda, you know, it's a wind tunnel in James Jesus Angleton's Wilderness of Mirrors. What can be, you know, what is to be done, comrades? Well, I would propose that in a society that is trending toward virtue, morality, and religion, personal virtue, therefore public virtue, that you would start to see this kind of thing, for instance. You know, all of these people doing all of this crazy stuff, if the people around Fauci didn't idolize him, you know, as I mentioned a moment ago, pictures of, you know, shrines of Fauci in interviews, Olivia Troy, for example, you know, interviewed on CNN. If instead people, we all began to trend toward conducting ourselves in the fashion of virtue, morality, and religion, as, you know, some of these guys, Washington, Franklin, Madison, Jefferson, Henry, Samuel Adams, John Adams, etc., as they admonished, basically, then the Faucis would not be emboldened. In fact, I would surmise that Proverbs 28:1 would be in full effect. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You know, the guy who knows that he's up to no good and criminality, you know, the police cruiser drives by and the guy's running away even though he hasn't done anything. Well, I don't know. If they grab me, there's probably something. You know, I have an outstanding warrant for something, or maybe I've done something. They'll get me for something. Why? Because he knows he's up to no good. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You know, the military guy shows up and says, here's how it is, and he's up to no good. Not that all military people are up to no good, but you know what I'm saying. Maybe he's heavy-handed or whatever, and the little old granny walks out and says, listen, sonny, here's how it is. And he says, yes, ma'am. So it happens. So that, I think, is one example. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And in America, we are getting this flipped around. As we continue to build this digital, you know, virtual panopticon, the philosopher kings of Plato's Republic have convinced us all that we, you know, are defective and that they are the soothsayers of everything, truth and virtue and et cetera. It's just a spell, you know? And so if the calliope quits playing and people stop for a minute and just go outside and look at nature and reality for a moment, I think things would get properly readjusted pretty quick, which is, again, why I usually maintain that, you know, the folks that say, you know, we hear every once in a while about a potential EMP attack. It could happen. I suppose it could, but it's not likely because the calliope would stop. And we wouldn't all be able to remain on message without the calliope. So, or the mighty Wurlitzer, as it were, of the Mockingbird Press and so forth. So, you know, shutting off the black screens, cracking open one of those old analog things that doesn't run out of batteries, and reading that, pursuing virtue, morality, and religion, I think, is an antidote to the nonsense we have. And training children up in the way they should go, and when they were older, they will not depart from it, the Bible says. Not a bad thing. Not worrying about potato head police, you know. Excuse me, sir, did you call potato head mister? Come with us. So virtue, from Webster's 1828, virtue. The radical sense is strength, from straining, stretching, extending. This is the primary sense of Latin, ver, a man. So from the Latin. And, you know, when it comes to virtue, I can't think of the word virtue without thinking of Terrence Moore's article over at the Claremont Review. Wimps and Barbarians, the Sons of Murphy Brown. Today's boys have little sense of how to be men. So that's something maybe to check out as well. But from Webster's 1828, the man responsible for the American lexicon, how many, what was it, 27,000 words or something like that? Number one, strength, that substance or quality of physical bodies by which they act and produce effects on other bodies. In this literal and proper sense, we speak of the virtue or virtues of plants in medicine and the virtues of drugs. In decoctions, the virtues of plants are extracted by long standing in the open air. The virtues are lost. Number two, bravery, valor. This was the predominant signification of virtus among the Romans. Trust to thy single virtue. But here's where we get to where we want to be. Number three and number four, particularly. Number three, moral goodness. The practice of moral duties and the abstaining from vice, or a conformity of life and conversation to the moral law. In this sense, virtue may be, and in many instances must be, distinguished from religion. The practice of moral duties merely, and listen to the distinction, the practice of moral duties merely from motives of convenience or from compulsion or from regard to reputation is virtue as distinct from religion. In contrast to that, the practice of moral duties from sincere love to God and his laws is virtue and religion. In this sense, it is true that virtue only makes our bliss below. Virtue is nothing but voluntary obedience to truth. Virtue is nothing but voluntary obedience to truth. Number four, a particular moral excellence, as the virtue of temperance, of chastity, of charity. And now, it's been observed that if you look at the term charity in the King James, it has a marked distinction from that which we think of today, the way that language has been corrupted, the American lexicon has been corrupted. Charity is kind of a pejorative today in America, but in the King James, charity is kind of the highest form of love. So distinct, you know, from the King James concept is distinct from the, you know, pejorative American lexicon. A particular moral excellence as the virtue of temperance, of chastity, of charity. So these are some things to perhaps meditate on, and along with that, Galatians 5. So, you know, maybe I'll conclude, I'll get to the allegory of the cave tomorrow, and maybe I'll conclude that with Galatians 5. Galatians is an interesting book in the Bible that deals with the subject of freedom, liberty, kind of from end to end. Galatians 5 is, in my opinion, a particular place of note on that topic. So, anyway, that'll do it for virtue. Stick around. We'll be right back. Final segment coming up right after this short break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown.
Welcome back.
Like the heart.
Final segment. I think we have time. Let's see if we can squeeze this in. So, Psalm 10, a couple of things. First four verses, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. I don't know about you, but I read this stuff and I think of, you know, the case Demick, for example, and, you know, the nonsense that's going on and the way that people have been absolutely cowed and inured. It's astonishing. Continuing, for the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. The wicked in the haughtiness of his countenance does not seek him, capital H. All his thoughts are, there is no God. And then to the end of the chapter, O Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to vindicate the orphan and the oppressed. That man who is of the earth, and that's an interesting concept, who is of the earth, if you are, you know, for those who are interested and not unfamiliar, the man of the earth is an interesting concept. That man who is of the earth may cause terror no more. And so it's probably time for Galatians 5. This, to me, is a word of encouragement, so I'm going to share it. Galatians 5, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And how did Peter put it? By what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit, by faith, am waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him, capital H, who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who were troubling you would even mutilate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Last couple of verses just to conclude. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Peace. Joy, happiness, love, unity, not division and strife. Anyway, hope it's a word of encouragement on this Monday. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.